Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
We're starting a new series this morning, Rise of a King. We're going to be walking through 1 Samuel together, and we're going to specifically look at the lives of Samuel, and then King Saul, and then David. And we're going to start with Samuel, and we're actually going to start before he was born and look at the rise of this prophet who ended up being the one who anointed Saul and David to be kings of God's people of Israel. And it starts with the story of Samuel's mom. Her name is Hannah. And we're going to see how brokenness leads to belief and then how that leads to boldness in one's faith. So we're going to start with Samuel's dad. His name was Elkanah, and he lived in the hills of Ephraim. And he had two wives, and we'll talk about in a minute how that becomes a problem immediately. But one of his wives had children, and one of his wives' name was Hannah. She did not have children. And every year, he would travel to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was set up. They didn't have a temple yet. They had not built a building. They were still worshiping in the tent that they had carried with them through the wilderness years, and they had that tent set up at Shiloh, and that's where you could go and worship. And so year after year, he would take his family, he would load them all up, and they would take sacrifices, and they would make this significant journey to Shiloh to worship there. So a couple things to say about Elkanah. One is, you know, he's just like you and I. Here I've sat here in one moment and said, look at the dedication of someone who made a vow and fulfills that vow. And I also said, yeah, and he also chose to have two wives. And that's just like the rest of us. So, like, we all have things about us that I think are great character traits, and I think we have things about us that are flaws. And I think that's one of the great things about the Bible. It doesn't just put characters up for us that are like superhuman or anything. They're ordinary people like me and you. But I do admire Elkanah, that he's one of those people who made a vow, and one of his vows is, I'm going to take my family every year. And he did it very intentionally and religiously, like carried them. And there's a lot to be said for strength of character that says, I've made a vow to my wife and my children and my Lord, and I'm going to do this. And I think a lot of you have done that as well. Like, you're a person who says, I'm going to take my family to church every Sunday, and I'm going to load them up, and I'm going to go. There are young people here. It's like, I'm going to go by myself. My parents don't go, but I'm going to go. Whoever you are, whatever your situation is, where you've said, I've made a vow to myself, to my God, and I'm going to follow through with that. And that says huge things. All right, so they would go, and he would give to his wife and children something to sacrifice so that they could offer a sacrifice to God. Well, since one of his wives had children, they would get more to offer, something for her and the children, and Hannah wouldn't get as much. Well, the other wife, her name was Peninnah, she would make fun of Hannah. Probably a great move, having two wives in the same house. But it says it in verse 6, she would taunt. We can put that verse up. She would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Sounds like a great household, right? And so even though they're going to worship, they're like some of you who fought on the way to church this morning, you know, in the car. Get ready, you know, whatever. Well, year after year, this would happen. And Hannah would get really upset, and she would end up on this journey together, she would end up in tears and not eating. And poor Elkanah, he doesn't know what to do. He's made this vow to God, so he's loading them up. Imagine if you're loading your family up, you're taking them to church every week, and then every week, you know, part of them end up in tears, and you start wondering, like, is this really what I want to do? But he had made a vow, and so he's like, I'm going to fulfill this vow. And then he says something, and I just want you to mark down. There's two verses that I'm just going to ask the men in the church to really mark down this morning, okay? Two verses that I really want the men to mark down. This is one of them. This is the don't do this move. Later I'm going to give you a do. This is what you do. But this is the don't do this mode. It's in verse 8. This is what he says. He says, "Why are you crying, Hannah? Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?" No, it is not. Apparently, that is not the right. It's not the right question. It's not the right guy's not the move to make. Like, why are you upset? You've got me. What more could you want, right? Why would you want anything else? Not the right move. Mark that down, underline that verse, okay, guys? No, you're not enough. So anyway, 1 year in her anguish, Hannah gets up and she goes over to pray near the entrance to the tabernacle. Now, I want you to picture this. Let's just say you came to church this morning, and when you came up, as you approached the building, outside on the sidewalk, there was a woman, and she was down on the ground, on her knees, with her face down on the ground, and she's bawling her eyes out. She's just so upset, crying. Think about that. Think about what you would do. Not sitting up here at the altar crying. If you saw somebody up here at the altar crying, you might make some, you know, you might think, oh, she's got some spiritual things in her heart. But they didn't even make it in the door. You know, they're out there and they're crying. I know how some of you react. Like Perlene would go over to the woman and kneel down beside her and go, there, are you okay? And I would walk around to the other entrance and tell security, keep an eye on her, you know. Because there was a guy sitting there, and he was the retired high priest. He's a man of God. His sons have now taken over the roles of being the high priest. And he's sitting at the entrance. And he sees this woman there. And it says in verse 10 that she was in deep anguish, crying bitterly, as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow: "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you, and he will be yours for his entire lifetime." Now, I don't know how you feel about that. That's an interesting thing to do. We do that kind of thing oftentimes. If we're really broken, we can make promises, you know, God, if you'll fix this, if you'll repair this, if you'll do something about this, here's what I'll do in return. We kind of make deals with God and promises to God. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, but I don't know how you feel about that. But here's what I do want to say. I want to say that, you know, it's obvious we could sit here and go, this area is holy. Like, this is God's area right here, the altar. You come and pray before God. I just want you to know, wherever you're knelt down, and you're pouring your heart out to God, that's a holy place. And so brokenness can be holy ground. Brokenness can be the place where you meet with God. And some of you come here today, and this is the place you're at. You've pulled it together. You made it past the sidewalk into the building, but your heart's broken, and you're struggling with something. You have something, heavy on your heart, and I just want you to know that when that thing pushes you towards God, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad place to be, because when we go to God with our hearts torn up, many times that's where we meet with God. It's often, that's a story of many people in this room. Where did you meet with God? Like, where did you really come to grips with who God is in your life? Well, it was in a place of brokenness. So brokenness can be holy ground, but that's not the main things I want to tell you this morning. So Eli is sitting there. He's watching her pray. And it says her lips are moving, but she's not talking out loud. She's just kind of mumbling on the ground. She's crying. And he concludes she's on something. I think you and I might make the same conclusion. If we walked up this morning, there's a woman on the ground out there. She's down on the ground. She's whatever. She's mumbling. She's crying. She's carrying on. I think you and I would go, she's on something. Something's wrong. You know, she's whatever. And so he makes that assumption. And he chastises her. He's the high priest, and he looks at her and he says, "Must you come here drunk? Throw away your wine." Well, like, can you see the attitude? Like, what are you doing coming here drunk? This isn't the place to come drunk, right? This isn't what you should be doing. You need to straighten up, right? So, one of the things I thought here, it's a real struggle sometimes when our intentions get mislabeled. And I know that happens to all of us too. Like, I have good intentions. I'm trying to do the right thing or whatever is going on, and somebody else mislabels what I'm doing. Like, they make some assumptions about what I'm thinking, what I've done, and I don't like that. Like that, and none of us like that. But we're all in those places too, where there are other people around us who are going like, "Oh, well, she's like this, or he's like this, or he's, you know, I know what he's doing." Like, and they don't know. And I just want you to know that's a common thing in life too. Is sometimes we're in a broken place, and not only are we in a broken place, but we're in a place where other people are misinterpreting what we're going through. They think they know, and they don't know. And that's a struggle. So here she is, and she responds to him, and she goes, "I'm not drunk. I'm just really discouraged. I'm pouring my heart out to God. I'm not a wicked woman. I'm not a messed up woman. Like, I'm not. I'm just here pouring my heart out to God." Well, I'll give Eli credit. He believes her. And so he says to her, "In that case, go in peace." In other words, you don't have to sit here praying anymore. Go in peace. "May the God of Israel grant the request that you've asked of him." And this is where I get to the second main point. First point, brokenness can be holy ground. The second point is this, that belief is the key thing in your life. Because here in this moment, she's pouring her heart out to God. The only thing that changes is she gets a word from God. Now, she's connecting the dots that this is the word. This is his high priest. He's got a direct line to God. So if he says, "May this happen," then she's taking that. God has said, you know, "Thus saith the Lord. God has told me." So she has an answer. So the very next verse, it says, she says, "Oh, thank you, sir." Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. I want to sit right there on that verse for a second. Because absolutely nothing has changed. She's not expecting. She doesn't have a child. She's still being taunted by the other wife. She doesn't have more sacrifices. She's still in the exact same situation that she was in 2 minutes before. 2 minutes before, she's broken, heartbroken, won't eat, whatever. Now she goes back and says, "I think I'll fix me a plate." Right? Tears dry. "I'm ready to eat. In fact, I'm kind of hungry." What's happened? What's different? Did God answer your prayer? Did he solve your dilemma? Do you have a son? No. Well, he answered my prayer, but I'm still waiting. I just want you to know there's two different kinds of waiting. There are two different kinds of waiting. One is a waiting in anguish. And it's a waiting that's really struggling. Who is God? What has he said? What will he do? Does he care for me? Does he care about my situation? Is he listening to me? There's another kind of waiting. And that waiting is filled with belief. I know who I am, and I know who God is. And I know he loves me, and I know he cares. And I don't even know exactly what he's going to do, but he says he's going to listen to me. Like, I do want you to know that sometimes our answer has to be, you know, maybe God is going to fix this. But maybe not. God's not going to fix this. Maybe he's going to fix me. I was listening to this. I met a pastor from India this week, and we sat down. We were having coffee together, and he was saying when he came to know Jesus, one of the things that was happening is his brother was really ill, and he was praying for healing for his brother. And they decided to believe in Jesus because they decided that Jesus could heal. So they were praying, And he was praying, believing in Jesus, that Jesus would heal. But Jesus was not healing his brother. And then they came across a story in God's Word that a pastor was sharing with him. And it was the story of the three friends of Daniel who were thrown in the fiery furnace. And in that story, what happened was they said, "We're not going to bow down to your God." And they said, "We believe our God can save us. We believe our God can do a miracle. But even if he doesn't do a miracle, we're still going to believe in God." And Arvin told me this changed their whole perspective. That they decided that whether or not God healed his brother, they decided that Jesus Christ was the real God, not the Hindu gods they'd been following. And they said, "We decided that whether he healed his brother or not, they were going to worship Jesus." Well, that's a decision we can make too, right? That I'm praying about this thing, I'm broken about this thing, and maybe God is going to fix this situation, and maybe God's going to give me a son, and that's what I'm brokenhearted about, but maybe God's not going to do it. Maybe God's just going to fix me and change my heart. But either way, whichever way God resolves this, I can leave this place of brokenness, and I can wait differently. And so maybe you're in a place of waiting today. And maybe you're waiting on an answer from God, and maybe that answer has actually already come. And the answer is just in his word. It's just as simple as a word from Eli. It's as simple as a word from me this morning. That God loves you, he cares about you, that you can trust him, and that you can walk with him away from the broken place, knowing that God has your life in his hands, and you're going to be fine. And whatever you're facing and whatever happens, good, bad, otherwise, you are good. And so she walks away in belief. In fact, what's amazing is we know this because a few verses later, we find out it's several years before she's standing before Eli again and saying, "I'm that woman." Look at verse 26. "Sir, do you remember me?" She comes back to Eli. "I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord." When she comes back, it's several years later when she brings Samuel back. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But she does have a child. She brings him back to Eli. She goes, "You remember me? You remember that time when, you know, I was out here on the sidewalk crying my eyes out?" Now, there's a lot of things my memory's short. You know, sometimes I don't remember everything. But I will tell you, if I encountered you on the sidewalk outside the church, laying on the ground, bawling your eyes out, I'll probably remember that one, okay? So if I encountered you 5 years later and you said, "You remember that?" I'll go like, "Yeah, I remember that. Well, that was me. Gotcha. Glad to see you standing up today," right? What a gift it is to trust the Word of God. To walk away with only a word, not the answer, a word, and say, "I have my answer. I may have to wait for it to come to fruition, but I don't have to wait in anguish anymore. I can trust the Lord that the answer has been given to me." It says they went to worship the next morning, and then they go back home. And our story fast forwards to a few months later, and Hannah is having a little boy, and she names him Samuel. And now we're in quite the dilemma, and this dilemma requires boldness. She's prayed, she's asked for a boy, or asked for a child. She has this little boy. Do you remember what she prayed? You know, now's the time when she might have been saying, "Why did I say that?" Like when I was broken and I had nothing to lose, I said, "God, if you'll fix this, if you'll give me a child, I will give him to you for the rest of his life. I will gain the thing I want, and then I will give it right back up, and I really won't even have it anymore." Now, will she follow through? So this is where boldness comes in. So it comes time to go back to the temple. Another year has passed, and Aunt Hannah tells them, "I'm not going this year. I'm going to wait till my baby is weaned." And this is in verse 22. It says, "Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently." So she's got in her mind what this is going to mean. "I'm going to take him to the temple. I'm going to give him to Eli. And I'm going to say, 'You raised my son.'" and I will see my son once a year when we make this trip. Now, men, here's the second verse you need to underline. Are y'all ready? Make sure you got your Bibles with you. Mark this one. Highlight it. This is the second one. We've already seen Elkanah mess up, right? Aren't I enough? Like, bad mistake. He's got it now. This should be maybe a theme verse for your life if you're married. 1 Samuel 1:23 says, whatever you think is best. Amen. Amen. Okay, women, you shouldn't say amen to that. Like, there are women in here who went, amen. That's exactly what he should say, you know. She goes, I'm not going this year. Now, think about it. Now, he's made a vow. He's made a vow. Every year, he takes his wives and his children. He takes them to church with him. And she goes, I'm not going this year. And he didn't look and go, yeah, you are. He looked at her and says, whatever you think is best. That's fine. Then he says something else, which I think is key. Look at the next phrase in verse 23. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise. He knows about the promise. And he knows something else. He knows that promises are hard to keep sometimes. See, we tend to make vows to God in two places. We make them on the mountaintop, and we make them in the valley. This is when we make promises to God. We make promises in the valley, just like she did. You're broken, you're upset, you say, God, if you'll do this, this is what I'll do. But see, now the situation's resolved. So now the question is, what's she going to do? Is she going to actually go and give this son up? Or is she going to start kind of walking it back? Is she going to start saying, well, you know, we could do it this way? Or God, what I really meant is, and surely he's not going to, I mean, you might even ask your friend, can you imagine that conversation? What if she was one of your buddies, she comes to you, and you're asking them, what do you think? This is what I said to God. And they'll go, well, I think God will understand. That's what we do. We walk it back. The other place we do this is on the mountaintop. You've gone to a retreat, you've gone to a camp, you've made some promise to God. What are you going to do with it? I was 13 years old. I was at RA camp. And I took two of my best friends with me. They were Jay and John. It's Jay and John and Jim, and we're buddies. We played basketball together, and I took them to camp with me, and we're like ninth grade. And I really wanted them to know the Lord. So I'd been praying all week that God would speak to their hearts and that they would respond and they would come to know Christ. And so every night we would go to worship, and it was outdoor. We're camping in tents, and we would worship in this outdoor little, I'm not even going to call it arena. It was pretty small. And every time I would think, like, is this it? This is it. And I wanted the opportunity to look at them and say, okay, God, you know, Jay, John, do you want to give your heart to Christ? And on the last night, it's Friday night, and I looked at them and I leaned forward and I said, don't you want to give your heart to Christ? I've been praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. And John looked at me and he said, I do. And I said, I'll go with you. He said, come on. And so we walked down the aisle, out in those woods, and John's standing there praying with the counselor. He's giving his heart to Christ. And then I turned around and I looked, and here comes Jay. And so Jay walks down the aisle, and he's giving his heart to Christ. And I distinctly remember it was Friday the 13th. So I always love Friday the 13th. So this is Friday the 13th in August the 13th. And they're standing there and they're praying. And this other counselor looks at me and says, what are you doing down here? You want to talk to somebody? And I said, no, I don't need anything. I'm with them. You know, they're coming to Christ. And God says, you do need to do something. And I'm on a mountaintop. This is a mountaintop experience, right? Here I'm in the woods. I'm at camp. My two best friends I've been praying for, I brought to camp. They come to Christ. And God said, this is what you should be doing the rest of your life. This is what you should be doing. And so I turned to the counselor and I made a vow to God. In that place, 13. And I said, God, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. I'm going to give my life to serving you, and this is what I'm going to do. And there were many times after that where I had choices that would carry me this way or that way. And I'd always look back to that vow when I was 13 years old. But I promised God this is what I would do. And I'm just going to tell you, those choices brought me to the place where I'm standing before you today. But it started when I was 13 years old, and I said, okay, God, this is what, I hear you speaking to me, this is what I will do. Now, here's what I think. I think that all of us have made vows to God, and we've made vows, whether it was in a valley or a mountaintop, and we've said, God, this is what I'll do. But we never did it. We've just not done it. And I don't know what all those vows were. Maybe they were to give something. Maybe they were to forgive something. Maybe they were to do something. Whatever it is, to serve in some way. Some place of obedience. And God's called you to do that. And the question is, will you do it? You know, brokenness can bring us to a place of God, this wonderful holy ground. And we can walk away from that place with true belief. And it changes the way we wait. We don't have to wait in anguish. I believe. I trust in God. I know God has a plan. I know what God is doing. But somewhere in there, there's a boldness required. I remember for me one time, I was a teenager, and I climbed the ladder, and I was on the top of an Olympic diving board. You know, I had all my friends around me, and I got to the top. And when I got to the top, I looked down, and I said, well, this is a dumb idea, right? Like, I did not want to jump, you know. And the combination of peer pressure and all that, I decided to jump off that diving board, right? We come to those moments. It's a pinnacle. It's a moment. Like, am I really going to do what I said? So I don't know where you are. You might be here this morning, and you're at a place of brokenness. Meet with God in that place. He loves you. He wants to meet you there. He will meet you there. Maybe you're at a place of belief, of trust, of decision, where you need to say, God, I'm going to walk through my life differently because I trust you. Or maybe you're at a place where you need to reach back to something that you've said to God a while ago. And you need to pull that out and say, God, this is what I'm going to do. So I want to pray for you this morning. And I want you to know that God loves you. And God brought you here today so that you could take a step with him. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Hannah, a woman who turned her sorrow into surrender, who turned her prayer into trust, and who took her vow and turned it into bold obedience. Teach us to do the same. Lord, when we're broken, help us to bring our pain to you instead of carrying it with us. When we're waiting, strengthen our belief so that we can trust your promises even before they're fulfilled. And when you call us to act, give us the courage to follow through, to live boldly, and to honor you with our lives. Lord, take our brokenness, grow our belief, and make us bold. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Coosada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at coosadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.